NPR's Mike Schuster in Tehran. I want you to stay on the line with us now, and we're going to bring in NPR news analyst Juan Williams, who joins us this week from the newsroom of the Baltimore Sun, which is kind enough to accommodate us this morning. Juan, thank you for being with us.
Good morning, Scott.
And let me ask you each in turn, Mike, if you could go first, what perplexity does this create for the Obama administration? How do you extend the hand of friendship to a country where the regime is still in question? Michael?
It seems to me, Scott, it's a big problem. President Obama's statements yesterday suggested that he was assuming that Mousavi would win, that there would be a sort of shift in politics here to a greater openness and more reform-oriented government that would be willing to talk to the United States. There also was a feeling from, I think, news coverage over the past week that things were really changing in Iran and that that politics and an election might actually shift course for Iran. And now that there has been this unexpected result, a landslide, an alleged landslide for Ahmadinejad, it's not clear to me, and that the reformers are going to challenge it, it's not clear to me mm-hmm. what kind of opportunities President Obama and his administration have just now. For the short term, they certainly will have to see what shakes out here.
Juan?
Well, I think the international effort to try to restrain Iran's nuclear ambitions really take a hit if the hardliners are going to remain in power in Iran. So, for example, tomorrow, Sunday, in Israel, the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is supposed to give a speech in which he was going to respond to some of the Obama administration's concerns about how things are going in the Middle East, and with specific concern about whether or not there should be a separate Palestinian state. Would Netanyahu mm-hmm. acknowledge that statehood is a reality, about settlements and trying to pull the settlements back? But part of that also was Iranian support for Hamas. And so here you have now Netanyahu going to step up tomorrow and potentially say, well, look, the hardliners remain in power. They remain people who are committed to building nuclear weapons, and they are committed to the destruction of Israel. So it plays, I think, for the Obama administration badly in the sense that it would simply heighten the tensions in the region rather than create any kind of diplomatic opening for a resolution.
Mm. All right, and here's Mike Schuster. We're going to let you get back to covering the story there in Tehran. Thanks very much for being with us.
Welcome, Scott.
And Juan, we want to talk about the sacrifice of Stephen T. Johns, the guard who worked at the Holocaust Memorial Museum for 6 years, and of course was shot down this week. It must be noted in this time that in this what I think was universally labeled a tragedy, political polarization set in very quickly, didn't it?
It really did. And again, I think that that's a really sensitive point that you made, Scott, that Johns made a sacrifice here. He literally opened the door for that 88-year-old man. And it's easy to forget a guy who is a whack-and-hut security special agent in this moment when everybody looks at the bigger picture. But there was a human being who gave up his life and, you know, security people at all of these facilities. I think we all owe them a debt. But to your point, I think that there's right now a lot of finger-pointing going on. If you look at some of the left-wing blogs in the country, they're saying, you know what, this extremist talk from the right wing, especially on talk radio, has been feeding alienation and violence and pumping up the idea that President Obama and Attorney General Eric Holder want to take guns, especially the military-style assault rifles. The ban on those expired in 2004. Lots of anger at immigrants. And on the right, from the right-wing blogs, they're saying, well, wait, why don't you talk about some of the attacks, like the attack on the military recruiter by a group that said that they had Muslim ties? What about First Amendment rights to criticize? And so you have this intensity right now on the blogs that, you know, of people saying you're responsible for this kind of outbreak of extremist violence as represented by what took place at the Holocaust Museum.
Well, I want to at least, if we can, explore the possibility with you, which I don't mind saying I sometimes wonder about. Do we have a tendency in the media to look for patterns? Because in the 24-hour news cycle, we're looking for something to say and something to advance a story, when in fact we might be talking about a series of isolated incidents, whether it's the killings of the recruiter in Little Rock or the assassination of Dr. Tiller, and now this tragedy at the Holocaust Memorial Museum.
Well, you know, the people who track this kind of thing, Scott, have found a 48% increase in hate groups since 2000. This is work done by the intelligence report of the Southern Poverty Law Center. And they've seen a specific rise, especially in southwestern states, largely tied to anti-immigrant sentiments. But their concern about guns, concern about having a president who's African-American, all of that has led to, I think, more and more concern. So I'm not sure the media is responsible for simply feeding this. There's some reality here.
NPR News analyst Juan Williams, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome, Scott.